At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 3 is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. We are joined to start the 8 o'clock hour by Mo Egger of 1530 ESPN in Cincinnati. Mo, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Off the bat, I'm curious. It is NFL season in Cincinnati with the Bengals, of course. The Reds are still going for MLB. Do the Bearcats get lost at all in the shuffle with the professional sports in Cincinnati?
Well, yeah. I mean, they do. The professional sports teams appeal to everybody. University of Cincinnati Athletics appeal to UC fans and alums. So, you know, it's a slightly fragmented area. Ohio State has a large footprint here. The University of Kentucky has a large footprint here. You know, Xavier University has a great college basketball program. They don't play football, but there's obviously a lot of Xavier alums who don't have a ton of interest in UC football. But the teams that bring everybody together are the Reds, who are in the thick of a wild card hunt, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, obviously here we have debated their championship bona fides, but they're certainly relevant. They have Joe Burrow. I think it's particularly tough for UC football when they are coming off the two seasons they're coming off of. You know, in 2021, when we were talking about them as, you know, a legitimate college football playoff contender with the Notre Dame game on the schedule, we were talking about them a ton in July and August because there was a lot of excitement. They had NFL players. They had been, you know, undefeated during the COVID season in 2020. When Brian Kelly was here and he was taking the Bearcats to BCS bowl games, there was a lot of off-season excitement and a lot of off-season chatter. I think, unfortunately, because it's felt like the air has come out of the balloon over the last 2 years, that in relation to the Reds and Bengals, the excitement for UC football and the attention paid to UC football pales in comparison pretty significantly right now.
So that's not good news for the head coach, Scott Satterfield. You don't want that as a head coach. Now,
no.
That's where I want to start the conversation. What is the... How do the fans regard Satterfield? Is he in some hot water with fans? What's the perception that you get?
Yeah, big time. I mean, you know, first of all, when he was hired, it was kind of met with a collective shoulder shrug, right? It was, you know, what the school was trying to do was step away from what it's always been really good at, which is hiring head coaches who are climbing the ladder, right? So think of Mark D'Antonio was an assistant coach climbing the ladder. Brian Kelly was a coach at Central Michigan climbing the ladder. Butch Jones was, you know, the coach at Central Michigan after Brian Kelly climbing the ladder. Luke Fickell, defensive coordinator at Ohio State, climbing the ladder. So the school had done a really good job of finding these guys who are still ascending, with most of us who are reasonable understanding they're not going to stay here forever. But you hope they have success here and then move on. And for the most part, every single one of those guys I mentioned did exactly that. With Scott Satterfield that hire, when Luke Fickell left, what they were looking for was somebody who had Power 5 head coaching experience. And, you know, we could debate whether or not that's the sort of thing they should have prioritized. But they hire Scott Satterfield, and Louisville's 100 miles from Cincinnati, right? So it's not like there's not a lot of UofL supporters in our backyard. And I think the instant reaction from most UC fans was, great, they just hired a guy that fans of the school he is leaving are thrilled that he's leaving.
Oh,
that's not great. So I think from a perception standpoint, he instantly faced an uphill battle in just winning people over, because a lot of people were expecting, let's be honest, that was the same offseason where Deion Sanders was hired. You had folks who legitimately believed that because Deion Sanders at one time played for the Cincinnati Reds, that they were going to go hire him. So I think relative to what a lot of people were hoping for or expecting, hiring Scott Satterfield was underwhelming.
Yes.
And then the two seasons he has had since he was hired have been really underwhelming. I think most reasonable people in year one gave him a pass because it was their first year in the Big 12, because it is really difficult for a first-year head coach to, you know, enjoy the same level of success as his predecessor just because of all the player movement. But last year, the way the season unfolded, the final five games, when they went from 5-2 to finishing 5-7, if there were people willing to give Scott the benefit of the doubt, I think they'd jump ship. And so he goes into a very important year three. He's got to win people over, but he certainly has a chance to make people perk up because they play, you know, a big time opponent week one, as opposed to the typical, you know, FCS opponent they play in the first game.
Mo, Bill Bush, 93.7 The Ticket. Question for you. Do you have the same passion as I do for Skyline Chili?
Of course I do.
I'm
going to wrap up this interview. I'm going to take a shower, and the Skyline closest to my house opens at 10:30 in the morning, and I go every Thursday at 10:30 in the morning before I go to work. So
this is incredible. They're hot dogs covered in chili with shredded cheese all over them, and it is. I'm telling you, it is a life changing moment for me, Mo, and it appears it is for you too at 10:30 every Thursday.
Well, it's what's disappointing. You know, this game was supposed to be played here, right?
And yeah, it
so,
was.
So, you know, a long time ago, it was a home and home between Cincinnati and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love it when, you know, it's been fun in the Big 12 because a whole lot of new people have come to Cincinnati. And invariably, you will find folks, and I'm sure Nebraska would have sent a lot of people to Cincinnati. Invariably, you find a lot of folks who are trying Skyline for the first time. And I love hearing their experience. They learn it for the first time. They learn how to order. It's great. So unfortunately, Huskers fans are deprived of that opportunity.
I'm disappointed. I'm not a big fan of the neutral side. I love people going to the other cities they haven't been to. Quick question for you. You mentioned the 5-2 start. What happened? Mm-hmm. You're 5-2. Things going great. Thinking maybe we do have the right coach. Maybe there's an extension coming. And then the bottom fell out. What happened?
Well, I think when you lose five games in a row the way they did, it's not just one thing. But two things stand out to me more than any when I think of the last five games. I thought, you know, they played a game in late September last year against Texas Tech on the road that they lost 44-41. They missed a kick at the gun that would have sent it to overtime. I walked away from that game really encouraged because I thought, you know what? They've obviously, you know, they've had a hard time getting footing in the Big 12. They've beaten Houston and, you know, UCF the year before. But this was a legitimate Big 12 school on the road, great atmosphere. They hung 41 points on them, and I felt like they look like a Big 12 team. This is run like a Big 12 offense. They came off of that and beat Arizona State, the team that won the Big 12. Arizona State played a backup quarterback that day. But I think you walked away from the first seven games of the season thinking, all right, they're probably not going to contend for a Big 12 title, but they feel like a Big 12 team. They have a Big 12 quarterback. They're better equipped to handle the physicality of the Big 12 relative to their first season. And then I thought Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback, got gun shy. There was a reluctance to throw the ball downfield, and a lot of folks are going to say, well, they didn't have great weapons, and they didn't. But something happened in mid-October between when they played UCF and when they played Colorado where it felt like the offense contracted. And suddenly the ability to go downfield and just tap into all their different skill guys completely went out the window. They didn't totally utilize their tight end. You know, Joe Royer is a guy that I think is going to be playing in the NFL next year. I think he could be playing in the NFL right now had he chosen to come out. And he caught 50 balls last year, and that's great. But he didn't make the impact in the second half of the season that we started to see him make in the first half of the season. The other thing with this team is The special teams play was atrocious. And that sounds like, yeah, they miss field goals. I mean, you name the unit, and it was a disaster last year. And so, you know, it's a team that did a really poor job of winning in the margins. It's a team that did a really poor job of expanding its margin for error because they were awful in every phase of special teams play. They were also, and special teams ties into that, they were really bad in, you know, what's called now the middle eight, the last four of the first half, the first four of the second half.
Yep.
They lost games last year where you felt like, you know, the Pittsburgh game comes to mind, the West Virginia comes to mind, two games they lost at home where, you know, they had a chance to add to their lead or go into the locker room with some measure of momentum, and then something bad happened and the other team capitalized, and you could feel the momentum in the game shifting. As unscientific as that sounds, they were really bad. They were really bad, certainly in the second half of the season, but if you look at most of their losses, in those situations, right before halftime and sometimes right out of halftime, they were not a team that was very good at generating turnovers. 111th in FBS college football in takeaways. With a 3-3-5 defense, doesn't lend itself to sacking the quarterback all that much. 97th in the country in total sacks last year. So it was a defense that just didn't generate a lot of big plays. So all of those issues presented themselves over the course of the entire season, but all of those issues really came to a head at the same time over those final five games of the season.
Mo Egger joins us from Cincinnati. He's running down the Cincinnati Bearcats football team. And Mo, there is the perception here as it applies to Nebraska is they might have some trouble up front on defense. They lost a lot. They're young up front, largely young up front. The question is this: can Cincinnati take advantage of that vulnerability? What's the run game like?
Well, you know, among the many things a lot of us are wondering about this team is, can they be better on the offensive line last year than they were? Can they be better this season than they were on the offensive line last year? Where last year, that was the one unit where they brought everybody back. And they had, you know, Luke Kandra and just a good offensive line from the year before that they were really – the one thing they were able to do in 2023 was run the ball effectively behind that offensive line. This year, three new starters. But I believe the coaching staff thinks their offensive line is capable of being at least as good as last year's and maybe even better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the excitement with the running game lies with the actual running backs themselves. Tywee Walker is a player they've gotten from Wisconsin that I know they're really excited about. They lose Corey Kiner to the NFL in the backfield, but Evan Pryor, who came to Cincinnati from Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
It was their like big play home run hitting back. I think one of the things, you know, in this era of college football, there's more unknowns from team to team to team because of all the transfers. But the biggest unknown for me, offensively at least, is, you know, are these guys going to be able to push bigger, more physical teams around? If the answer is yes, I think they've got the dudes in the backfield.
Mm.
If the answer is no, well, you know, then we'll see. But, you know, last year I would have been better equipped to answer that question because they had five returning starters from the year before on an offensive line that was really good at blocking for the run. This year, a lot of new guys, a lot of questions. But I could tell you, you know, you guys know well enough when you talk to coaches or you talk to people around the program and they tell you they're excited about something, you kind of develop a little bit of a BS detector, if you will.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional grade products and next day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Are they just saying they're going to be better because they're supposed to, or are they legitimately excited about what they have? I think they're legitimately excited about what they have up front.
Ooh, okay.
Mo, what will we see offensively? Well, is this a tempo team? Is it spread? Is it 12 personnel, meaning two tight ends in the game, some two backs? What will we see from the Bearcats on Thursday night?
I think they can go 12 personnel because I think they have good tight ends. I think, you know, when we talk about the differences from last year to this year, I think it's team speed. If you look at Bruce Feldman's list of freaks, theathletic.com, Cincinnati has three of them. One of them is a wide receiver from a place called Lindenwood College named Jeff Caldwell, whose like measurables exceed anybody at this year's combine. Now that sounds great. Can he catch the ball down the field? I think, look, it's a Scott Satterfield offense. I always, when people talk about like what kind of offense does Scott Satterfield want to run, mm-hmm. when they brought Brendan Sorsby from Indiana to Cincinnati, and I asked him, like, what do you like most about Brendan Sorsby? The first thing he said is, well, how tough he is running the ball.
Ooh.
My first thought was like, huh, you know, that's if you go out with a girl and I say, how was the date? And you go, well, her personality's great. That's probably not saying that much about her looks. I thought the same thing about the quarterback play. Like, are you telling me how good he is running the ball because he can't throw? No, it's because Scott Satterfield really wants to run the football. And I think in a game like this, that's obviously going to be what they try to do. I think the biggest question about this offense this year is, are they going to be willing and capable of, you know, testing defenses downfield? Early in the season last year, they tried with Xavier Henderson. He's not here anymore. Jeff Caldwell is a name, Cyrus Allen, Caleb Goody. We're talking about wide receivers who are very long on athleticism and speed, mm-hmm. not long on making on a history of making a lot of big plays at the college level. I don't think they have a wide receiver who has more than 25 catches in a season in FBS college football. The biggest question for me is, mm-hmm. Yes, they want to run it. And yes, they have good tight ends. Joe Royer, we talked about. Patrick Gerd from Ohio State transfers to Cincinnati like Joe Royer, which I think gives them more depth at tight end. Can they spread the field? Can they throw downfield? Are they capable of it? And I think more than anything, are they willing to do it? Because, again, last year, I thought Brendan Sorsby got a little gun-shy as the season went on. Does that carry over to this year? If the answer is yes, they're in trouble. If the answer is no, I'm really interested to see if they could take advantage of the speed that they have on the outside that I didn't see them have last year.
Joined by Mo Egger, 1530 ESPN in Cincinnati. Mo, I'm curious about this game specifically. Nebraska, again, is supposed to be a home game for Cincy. It still is a home game, but it's actually a home game for Nebraska with about 90% of the fans in Arrowhead going to be Nebraska fans. I'm curious. I think it's 6.5-point spread for the Huskers. When you look at the game, what do you expect to see next Thursday night in Arrowhead? Do you expect Cincinnati to win? Like, what are you expecting from this game?
I thought the spread was going to be somewhere in the 6.5 to 7.5 point range. You know, I talked to one of the writers who covers the team, and I said, you know, what do you think about that? And he said, I'd have it closer to 3.5. I can't find anybody who thinks that the Bearcats should be favored. So that tells you that Nebraska should win. Nebraska is an established Big Ten team, a Big Ten program. Obviously, I know you guys talk every day about year three, Matt Rhule. Yep. Can they be better in close games? I think there's a more of a known quantity with Dylan Raiola than Brendan Sorsby. What I expect is, you know, I think Nebraska is probably going to win the football game, if I'm being completely objective. I do think the Bearcats have a chance to be better this season than they have been. I think year two of defensive coordinator Tyson Veit's system, that continuity is just naturally going to help. Having Dante Corleone coming off a normal offseason, he is, I think their best player, the Godfather, the three technique, who's been an all Big 12 performer in two different leagues, the American Athletic Conference and the Big 12. Last year, he had dealt with a blood clot all off season. Not so much the case this year. They started the season really unhealthy on the defensive line. I think they're going to be better this season. I think they can get to a bowl game. The Big 12 is not a great conference. Cincinnati's schedule is reasonably favorable. But this is a tough ask week one. I've put it this way, and this doesn't necessarily answer your question, but you know, we talk about Scott Satterfield, it's year three. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's kind of a put up or shut up season. We talk about like the fan base. Mm-hmm. Are they being drowned amid, you know, what the Bengals are doing and what the Reds are doing? That's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Fickell obviously was very successful here. His first season, he inherited a mess and they went 4-8. And frankly, if you looked at that 4-8, they were like three plays away from finishing 1-11. Mm. They were terrible.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
And nobody cared. You know, Nippert Stadium was empty. And that entire offseason, you know, it was, okay, year two for Luke Fickell, what are they going to do? Boy, they've best case is 6-6. Best case in 6-6. Okay. They go on the road week one, and they play at the Rose Bowl against UCLA, Chip Kelly's first team. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, we know that UCLA team ended up not being very good, and the Chip Kelly era never really took off in Los Angeles, but it was, okay, first game, iconic venue, bigger name opponent, on the road, Cincinnati was a 15.5-point underdog. The Bearcats won that day, and won going away. I think it was 29-14.
Okay.
Now, college football was a little bit different back then. That was the 2018 season, so you know, not really as much player movement. So, but you saw all the building blocks, and you saw Desmond Ridder, and you saw, you know, so many of the guys that would go on to the NFL and be a part of that team in 2021 that played in the college football playoff. But by winning that day, it made people perk up. I think this game presents a similar dynamic where the energy from the fan base has kind of been sapped. Not a lot of people. I don't know anybody going to Kansas City. Like, I'll be there to do the pre and post games. I mean, legitimately, we've talked about this on my show. Like, I don't know any big, like, road game. Part of it is, like, Kansas City from Cincinnati is not the easiest place to get to.
No.
Labor Day weekend's enormous in Cincinnati. Folks here hate Kansas City because of the Bengals-Chiefs thing. But legitimately, sure. I don't know anybody who's going to this game from Cincinnati. So,
no Cincinnati fan.
It really feels like, you know.
Could you ask on your show today, is there anybody going? Because right now we have the number is zero.
I might do that. But the energy from the fan base has been totally sapped. This is, I think, the only real opportunity for Scott Satterfield to make people perk up and go, okay, let's see what the Bearcats have this year. Okay. If they lose this game and then beat Kansas on the road week four, it's not going to be the same. I think this game feels very much like that UCLA game. And again, that UCLA team ended up being really bad. I think they went like 3-9 that year. But when they won that day, it made people go, all right, let's pay attention. Let's see what the Bearcats have. And the rest is history. I think this game for Scott Satterfield and for this program feels similar. It's essentially a road game. It's the Thursday night. It's, you know, kind of a standalone event. I think you have a lot of people who are going to give UC football one chance this year, and it's going to be that first game. And if they lose it, I think you're going to have even more people who either jump off the bandwagon or just decide, all right, this isn't worth my while. And if they win, okay, let's see if the Bearcats can have the sort of season that we had become used to for so many other years prior to Scott Satterfield showing up. We'll see. But again, I think the spread is about what it should be. It's going to be a really tough environment when you have a lot of new players and the Bearcats do, and you have to play in what is effectively going to be a road environment. It's a really, really tough ask. What I want to know more than anything else is which Brendan Sorsby do we get? Because the one thing that can help you mitigate all of those issues is great quarterback play. The Bearcats got it for much of the first half of the season last year. They didn't get anything close to it in the second half of the season. Which Brendan Sorsby shows up a week from tonight at Arrowhead Stadium?
So it sounds, Mo, so dire outside of the building. But in the building, tell me the thoughts, because it has to be somewhat good. When I hear of all Big 12 performers that all returned, that no one took them, in this day, most off a team like this, mm-hmm. those guys would all be playing somewhere at a much bigger venue. Their D linemen are impossible to find. So that mm-hmm. the value that they had, the tight end position, how did they keep them?
Well, they paid them. I mean, in this era of college football, I think that's the.
But the other people would pay him
that's
too.
The answer to all yeah. of that.
The other teams would have paid him. They would have got a good market value outside of there also. So it seems that there must be something good going inside the building with the vibe.
Yeah.
Yes, I would agree with that. It's funny, as much as nobody here wants to hear it. I go down there every Tuesday during the season to do interviews for the pregame show. And so we'll talk to, you know, two or three players, and invariably you'll ask, why'd you come to Cincinnati, or why did you stay? And they will all say, and again, you could use your BS detector if you want, but they will all say the coaches, the coaching staff, Scott Satterfield. They've had players come from Louisville, where Scott Satterfield was, to Cincinnati. I think these players genuinely enjoy playing for this coaching staff. I think these players who were here last year also, and this has been a common theme, want to be a part of the solution here. They really take seriously the responsibility of, you know, getting this program established as, you know, a legitimate Big 12 type program. Everybody, even Joe Royer could have played in the NFL this year. Joe's from Cincinnati, and I had multiple conversations with him this offseason about, like, well, why not the NFL? Or, why not bounce somewhere else? And he's like, last year was terrible. It's my hometown. I didn't want to leave at 5-7. I didn't want that taste in my mouth. And look, he needs to improve his draft stock. He would fully admit that. But that was kind of a common theme. Kind of a common theme was, like, for the players who were here last year, that's not how we want our Cincinnati history being written. So I believe that. They've talked about that since the moment the season ended. I think there was a real heavy emphasis in the early portion of the offseason, not only in finding players who fit, but, you know, just kind of like we've got to, they've all got to match the physicality of Big 12 football, which this program did a better job of last year, but needs to do a better job of this season. But to answer your question, I think players genuinely like playing for these coaches. There's been very little turnover. Only the special teams coach was swapped out. I don't know that those guys will be here if this season goes south again, but I think there's a genuine interest among the players who have returned to be a part of the solution and win with and for these coaches.
Mo, great insight. Wow. Thanks for your time.
Wow, that was awesome.
And good luck to you guys a week from today in Arrowhead.
Well, we see you in Kansas City. I'm the one guy from Cincinnati who's coming.
Yeah, so the one. Yeah,
we will make sure.
Two here with us. Yeah,
yeah, we'll make sure we introduce ourselves, Mo, for sure.
That'd be awesome. And then you're going to Skyline Chili tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
I'll probably go tomorrow because it's the end of the week and I take my daughter. So basically, I try to come up with an excuse to go to Skyline every single day.
Good job.
Smart man.
That's a life.
He's Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, thanks so much. Appreciate you.
See you guys.
There you go. That was good.
Oof, he knows, really, he really knows good nobody.
He knows nobody that's going to the game. He's the only one. So as he's walking around, he's
going to show some support for him.
There'll be no one. If there's anyone that's going to the game that's just neutral, just put on a Cincinnati jersey, please.
They need some help.
So he knows nobody.
Not a soul.
Not like, well, yeah, my neighbors are going, and no one's going.
That was one takeaway. The other takeaway is they're gonna try to run it.
We'll recap some more of that when we come back next in Early Break for the Ticket.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.